it's time for the Travel Vanter podcast. Angie, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great, too. So this is Travel Vanter with Tom and Angie. This is the podcast from two people young enough to enjoy the adventure of travel, but old and wise enough to appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yes, and we are back for our 23rd episode. If you missed the last episode, I really, really encourage you to go back and listen, because we really explain what happens when you jump from episode 21 to 22. It's a phenomenon, and really, I won't repeat it, but I think, you know, go back and listen to that episode.
I think it's fair to say it's a phenomenon in Tom's mind. That's probably the better way to put it.
Many things are.
Yes, this is true.
All right, so today we are going to go over a list that you created, and what is the title of your list?
The list is your top 10 travel prep tips, but there's a twist to this.
Say that three times fast.
Top 10 travel trip, yeah, can't even do it once.
Okay.
But there's a twist to this one. So once you have found that dream destination, you've booked those tickets, you have this incredible vision about what this trip is supposed to be, there's really some realistic things that you need to consider, and there's some research you need to do in your prep for this trip. And this list is going to cover some of those things that we have found important in our travels. You ready to get down to the list?
I cannot wait, figuratively and literally.
Well, you are in for a treat. I'm
buckling my seatbelt.
All right, so the first travel prep tip post booking your trip that I have for you is get your travel docs in order. I'm not talking about your plane tickets and that kind of thing. That will probably come in your email, or if you're using a travel agent, they're going to give you a dossier with all of your travel tips. What I'm talking about is your passport. Do you need an international driver's license? Will your regular driver's license from your home country suffice? Your insurance cards, those types of things. What are you going to need to travel within the country that you're going to? And I know we've had a little bit of experience with having to get different travel documents when we were driving in Italy.
I thought you were taking a breath, like there was a dramatic pause. You were actually looking at me.
I was looking at you.
Yes, we did, when we drove in Italy, needed an international driver's license, which you can get from your local AAA affiliate.
You can, and it was actually pretty simple to get, but it was a requirement,
right,
to rent the car, as well as proof of insurance, or I don't remember if we purchased insurance in country or not, but there were things that we had to do to travel as foreign citizens in a different country.
Yeah, we did. And we're actually headed to Ireland, where we don't need that international driver's license to drive. Just the U.S. Driver's license will suffice. So definitely country by country, you may have different rules. You mentioned passport. Countries have different rules too. Most of the time you need at least 6 months left.
Yes.
On your passport. Mm-hmm. So if it's good the day you leave, but it's not good long enough for that country's considerations, they may not let you in. So you don't want to find that out while you're in customs.
Yeah, I actually remember us being at the ticket counter of, I believe it was a British Airways flight, and there was a traveler at the window next to us that didn't have the proper amount of time left on his passport to travel through that country that he was going to, and he was actually denied his flight check-in. So make sure your travel docs are in order and not going to expire while you're on the trip. And make sure you have them with you when you leave for the airport.
Right, so it's not so much about having them physically on your person. It's making sure that you know what you need and that each of those needs complies with the country or countries that you're going to.
Absolutely. Nobody wants to get to an airport or a border without your passport. Right. not fun. All right, so the second...
Could I suggest that, just for historical perspective, go back and watch the I Love Lucy episode where she tries to get from Italy into France, and you will see, you don't want that to happen
you
to
do
you.
You do not want a scene like that.
No,
scene.
You don't.
You do not. All right, the second travel prep trip travel prep See? Tip. You've got me all tongue-tied. I just love you so much.
Aww.
So the second tip I have for you is to research the environment that you're going to. Now, this sounds kind of silly, but it really does make for a better trip. What I mean by environment, things like weather, of course. You want to know what weather you need to prep for to see if you need to prep with rain gear or what you need to pack in your suitcase. But also from the perspective of the terrain, really important when you travel is the right shoes. And you know that shoes for me is an issue when I travel.
Lord have mercy. I'm going to be quiet during this part of the discussion.
So know the terrain that you're walking on. For instance, when you're walking through some of the streets of Italy, you're on cobblestones, which are very hard and they're rough on your feet and they're uneven. So you're not going to be walking through Rome in stilettos, even if you can wear them all day long here. And you may see Italians who are wearing stilettos on the cobblestones, but as a traveler, if you're not used to it, make sure you understand the environment that you're going to be traveling in so you can pack the proper rain gear if needed, shoe wear if needed, clothing. Just do a little bit of research before you head out for that trip. It can be very expensive. You can probably always get what you might need, but you don't want to add that onto your cost of your trip while you're in the in-country.
And it's probably one thing to just check the weather forecast. It's another thing to understand the dynamics that you might have with weather in a particular area. We've been to some places where you can get all four seasons in the same couple of days, even if the forecast says partly cloudy.
Yeah.
You still may get all four seasons in the same day, and that's normal, and they're used to it, but just know what you're potentially walking into.
Absolutely. And I would add on to this, don't let weather deter you. Some of our best memories on some of our trips have been in massive rain downpours when our feet were soaking wet and we're on hot, crowded buses soaking wet from a freak rainstorm. So don't let that intimidate you. Just try to be prepared. All right, ready for tip number three?
I'm ready.
All right, learn about your transportation options in country. For example, do you want to use a private driver? Do you want to use taxis or the metro or trains? Know what your transportation options are in country and learn a little bit about them. We learned something interesting about taxis in Italy, didn't we? About the taxis you can take and the taxis that aren't actual authorized taxis.
Look for the official cab stands with the white taxis.
Yes.
Anything else is a bit risky.
Yes. So learn about what your travel options are. And you can find great travel options just by researching online. You can follow the companies on their social media accounts. That's how we discovered Thybris, which we use when we're in Italy. So just know what your options are. All right, four, this is a big one. And this is a big one for me. It took a little bit of stepping outside of my comfort zone. But know what the food customs and expectations are in other countries. So we have had a couple of times where we have walked up to restaurants when we've been traveling in other countries, and we couldn't get into the restaurants. Why was that?
I don't know.
most of them we needed reservations.
Oh, reservations. So just because you read about a cool, trendy, new, popular restaurant doesn't mean that when you get there that you're going to be able to get in, because a lot of times you needed to make reservations to those places. They're popular for a reason.
Yeah.
Well before you ever left for the trip.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you think a few days in advance is good, like it might be here, you may not even have a chance of getting in.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, or you're eating at 11 o'clock at night or 10
o'clock
at night.
Yeah, and the bigger cities, it's safe to say you could find something as an alternate, but in smaller cities, you might not be able to. So just know that. And
or if you've got the place that you really is going to be special to your trip, for some reason, that is in and of itself a destination, don't underestimate how much time you might need to make that reservation. And if language is a barrier, Our travel agent was very helpful in making a reservation for us before we went to Bologna. They recommended a restaurant, and I right up front, a couple of months before we left, just asked them to go ahead and make that reservation, which they did. We walked in with no problem.
Yeah, and also, if you're staying in a hotel, utilize the concierge because they can do that for you as well. Yeah. Along with the food thing, another thing I wanted to mention is understand what the food base in that country is. If you have food allergies or food sensitivities, kind of know what is a major theme in the foods that you're going to be consuming or the foods that are part of the culture. For example, our next trip is to Ireland, which there is a heavily potato-based diet in Ireland. And I, unfortunately, am allergic to potatoes. So being prepared for that and knowing what your alternatives might be, but in a way that's not offensive or rude to whoever the chef may be at the restaurant.
Now, assuming it's not life-threatening, there is a potential bit of adventure here because you also have an issue with eggplant.
Yes.
However, when we went to Italy and had a certain variety of eggplant, that really didn't cause you any problem whatsoever.
It didn't. And so I would suggest to know what your limitations are, know what your risk level is.
So is there perhaps a particular Irish potato that you might enjoy without any negative side effects?
Perhaps, but just in case, I am bringing my Benadryl and my EpiPen. All right.
We don't want you done in by a spud.
We do not. That would be bad. That would be bad. So we are in tip number five. You ready for tip number five?
Yep.
All right. So what is one thing that we make a date of before we travel once a year? What do we go and get?
We get needles shoved into our shoulders to vaccinate us from the flu.
We do. We get
otherwise known as a flu shot.
A flu shot. We get our flu shot. So what this tip is based around that, about being healthy when you travel. Knowing where you're going to be traveling to, what might be the current illness outbreak in that area, or if it's a part of the world where there might be something in particular that's prevalent there that may not be prevalent in your home country, know what vaccinations you might need to get. We do get our flu shots every year, and we are big supporters of getting the flu shot. We had an experience on one of our tours in Italy where it was a small group tour, and there were eight of us in a van, and one person was just literally
coughing up a lung.
Yes, and she had said, she goes, "This is my last day in Italy, and I didn't want to miss this tour." Well, we were only on our third day in Italy, and we didn't want to be sick the rest of the time. But luckily, we had gotten our flu shots, and we were fine. But just be prepared for that. Know what might be prevalent, and take those precautions that you need to. All right, tip number six.
Home stretch.
6 of 10. This is about finances, and I know we'll probably discuss some of this more in another podcast, but just very basic finance-related tips. Know what currency is in the country that you're going to be going to. For instance, if you're going to Europe, in England, you're still going to be using the pound, but in Ireland, which would seem that maybe you could use the pound, they actually use the euro. So know what the currency is within the country. There's not a whole lot of them when you're traveling in Europe anymore, but just do some research on what that is and whether you need to do your exchange beforehand or you can do it in country. Check out where ATMs might be in country so you kind of have a plan of where you can restock if you need to. So, and then things like knowing the cost of using your cell phone, things like that, anything involving your finances, you just don't want to be caught with any surprises and kind of put a damper on your trip because of money issues. All right, that was tip number six. Tip number seven. Ready for seven?
I am.
All right, so when we're in Rome and when you see movies about Rome, what is something that you see people doing in the fountains?
It's not dancing, because that's illegal. It's not drinking, because that would be gross. It's throwing money in the fountain.
Well, like, we do see people throwing money in the fountain, but what this tip is is about customs and laws in different countries. So recently in Italy, there have been several laws passed. I would almost call them stupid tourist laws. So when we're in Italy, on occasion we've seen people kind of dipping a whole hand or maybe sticking their feet in the fountain. That is actually illegal. And you can get fined several hundred euro, which translates to even more in American dollars, if you do that. So just get a bit of background on what is legal to do in different countries. What some countries have laws against eating in particular parts of the city or lounging on the Spanish steps or something like that. So just know what customs and laws are generally expected to be followed, so you're not hit with any surprises.
And they change. So just because you were in Italy 2 years ago and you were sitting on the Spanish steps enjoying a coffee, if you went to try to do that same thing today, not only can you not have food or beverage on the mm-hmm. Spanish steps, you can no longer sit on the Spanish steps. So wherever you're going, just make sure you're up to date on what those laws are. And just because you did something a couple of years ago doesn't mean you can do it again.
Yeah, and it just takes a simple Google search about what can I do when I'm in Rome? Or what are some tourist laws in Rome? So just do a quick Google search. Now this isn't fun to think about, tip number 8, but it really is something that you need to consider. I know two separate people who have had medical issues when they have been traveling in other countries and needed medical assistance. And so if you need assistance, it's wise to research who you might call, how you might call, where you might go to get the assistance you need. For instance, how do you, in the US we call it 911, but how would you access that equivalent in another country that you're in? If you might need to see a doctor for some reason, if you get very ill or injured, where might you go? So just do a quick search on what is available in that country to you as a tourist. Tip number 9. Ready for 9? We only have 2 left.
I can't believe it's gone by this fast.
He doesn't seem all that excited about this.
I'm hoping you saved the best one for last.
And there's a little bit of a story with the last one.
Good.
All right. So travel alerts. Check for travel alerts in the country that you're going to. Things happen all over the globe all the time. But go on whatever your country's equivalent is of the Customs and Border Patrol and see what travel alerts might be in place for you as a citizen of your own country, might be in another country. And most likely nothing is going to happen. Your government may have a travel warning for you as a citizen of a particular place, but just use caution, be aware. Know that when you are in different parts of different cities, even if it's a place that seems very safe, things like pickpocketing can happen. Be aware of that as you're going to other countries. When we were in Florence, there was, I believe, someone attempted to pickpocket me on one of our trips. I got bumped from the front and from behind at exactly the same moment. And I believe somebody tried to pickpocket me then. Luckily, I had my travel purse and I had things put away in place. Nothing got taken from me, but I think someone actually tried to pickpocket me on one of our trips. So just know what travel alerts and security measures you might need to take.
Yeah, I mean, pickpockets probably wouldn't show up on the government travel alert website.
Not.
So there are locally advice on what might be the thing to look out for in the local jurisdiction of where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the travel alerts, watch the news. Sometimes what you see in the news translates to a big nothing in the place that you're going.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's a clue that maybe there is a new travel alert because something did happen. So don't over or underreact. Just do your research.
Yeah.
Do your homework.
Just be wise about it. And finally, tip number 10. Are you excited for tip number 10? Know what you can bring back into your home country through customs. We have a bit of a story about this. So There are certain things that you can bring back into your home country. And to find out where that is, you need to check what your home country will allow. But we've had some experience in wanting to bring things back from Italy in particular, but that we couldn't bring back. So what were some of the things that you really enjoyed while we were there, but we weren't allowed to bring back into our home country?
Well, the most, in terms of just quantity of something that I thought I might bring back and wanted to bring back, was prosciutto.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that you can't.
You cannot.
You can bring back cheese if it's vacuum sealed, or at least certain kinds of dry aged cheese.
Yes.
But I ended up eating quite a bit of the prosciutto that we bought up in Parma.
You did. It was something like a quarter pound of prosciutto. That's a lot of prosciutto.
Fortunately, we picked it up towards the beginning of our journey, so I had some time, and it ages pretty well. But it's what you can bring back, how much of things you can bring back, and then what is your journey back, and might you run into some issue along the way where it was fine in part one, but maybe not
in part two. And we've had that. That's the story I'm actually going to share. So in the U.S., so you know where you would need to check, you can check CBP, which is Customs and Border Patrol.gov, CBP.gov, for the list of things that you can bring back. You can also, I believe, find your travel alerts on that site as well in the U.S. But you also want to check TSA.gov for what you can bring through security. When we were on one of our trips to Italy, coming back through, I believe we flew through, I don't remember if it was in Heathrow or if we were in the Rome airport, but we purchased a bottle of limoncello at duty free, which was a great deal. Alcohol duty free is great. There are limits on the amount of alcohol you can bring back without paying tax on them. So just be aware of how much you're bringing back. And there are restrictions on the total ounces that you can bring back. But we purchased it in, I believe, in Rome. But when we got back to the U.S., we didn't fly directly into our home airport. We had to change planes.
I think it was Dallas.
In the U.S. Yes, we were in Dallas. And so when we arrived and passed through customs in Dallas, but I had bought my limoncello duty-free, so I carried it on the flight. But when you arrive in the U.S., you travel through customs out into U.S. soil, and then you have to walk back through TSA security to board a new flight.
So if you land where you live, no
problem.
But if you have a connecting flight, big problem.
Yes. So luckily I had space in my luggage and the ability to put it into my luggage. Otherwise I would have gone through security and lost that item I had purchased duty free. So tip number 10 is know what you can bring back to your home country.
By the way, I would have easily tossed my shoes and put that big bottle of limoncello in my suitcase, because the shoes would have been much easier to replace, and
True. The
limoncello probably smelled better.
Probably. So, yeah. So these are things that are not necessarily a fun part of planning, but they really are things that you need to know in case one of these issues come up, because it could put a damper on your trip.
Well, that was a very thorough and informative list, so thank you for doing all that research.
You're welcome. I had insomnia last night, and I sat up last night and wrote out this list of 10.
And I think this is one of those things where there's a return on the investment. If you kind of work through and research and make sure all your ducks are in a row and all those things before you go, you really dramatically reduce any kind of emergency or crisis while you're traveling.
Absolutely.
And you get to enjoy the vacation that you worked so hard for.
You do, yes.
All right. Well, hon, I enjoyed spending this time with you this afternoon.
I enjoyed spending this time with you, too.
If people want to find us, where should they go?
You can find us both on Facebook and on Instagram. Our handle on both is Travel Vanter. And if you have any things that you would like to hear us share about our travels or any suggestions, you can email us at travelvanter@gmail.com.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. We will see you back next week. Don't forget, we do have our Ireland series coming up, where we will be, assuming technology cooperates, posting these podcasts as we move through the Republic of Ireland.
How exciting!
All right. Take care, everybody. Honey, I love you.
I love you too.
Bye.
Bye.